Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Hope you're doing well today. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Well, we've got a lot going on. What a mess the country is in, everybody. And we're going to try to untangle some of this nonsense during today's program. So there is there's a lot happening on our southern border, and we need to be talking about it, because come Thursday, when Title 42 expires, it is going to be an insane mess in this country. Now, we've been told about 400,000 illegal aliens a month will be crossing into the United States, and those are the ones we know about. So if you're doing the math here, by the end of the Biden term in office, by the end of his first term in office, you will have had close to 12 or 13 million illegals, because we believe already 6 or 7 million have already crossed into America. You're looking at state-sized populations of illegals that are now coming into America. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are not dealing with an invasion anymore. We are dealing with an occupying army. That's what's happening here in the United States of America. Now, I want to go back in time. The year was 2019. I was in the middle of contract negotiations with Fox News Channel. And I know many of you have read about my departure at Fox News, and it's all wrong. I mean, the official narrative is all wrong. So I'm just going to share with you what actually happened. Fox had offered me a contract extension, and we went back and forth. My agent was negotiating with them. And over the course of this negotiation, I was on the radio talking about this border crisis. And now everybody's calling it an invasion, but back in 2019, very few people were. And one of the things I do, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a student of history. And I've noticed throughout history, whether it's the Germans in World War II, whether it's the Chinese, it doesn't matter who it is. But if you've got a large group of people from one country and they're crossing the border of another country without that country's permission, we would call that an invasion. We used to fight wars over that. And that's pretty much how I described it at the time when I was working at Fox News. Well, the National Hispanic Journalism Association became enraged, so much so that I was told that they returned a check or some sort of a scholarship donation that Lachlan Murdoch had made to their organization. Now, at the time, the National Hispanic Journalism Association was run by a senior producer at MSDNC, and they declared war on Fox. Now, at the time, I believe there were some other Fox hosts. I think Laura, I know Tucker, and maybe Hannity had all used that same terminology, that same phrase. But I was the only non-TV talent to use that phrase, so therefore I was expendable. And the bosses were like, oh, don't worry about it, it's not a big deal. But behind the scenes, they had actually brought the MSDNC producer into the Fox building, and they were having all of these in-depth conversations. And long story short, I got the heave-ho. I did my show, went back to my office, my beautiful office up on, I think it was the 32nd floor of the Fox News Tower, and got a call from my agent and said, you know what, they decided they're no longer going to pursue negotiations, and that was that. And that ended my career at Fox. And that's pretty much the story. That is the story. So anyway, it's sad, because if Roger Ailes had been alive, he would not have allowed that MSDNC reporter to step one foot onto Fox property. And quite frankly, he would have told the National Hispanic Journalism Association where to stuff their pesos. But unfortunately, that's not how it worked because Roger had been fired. Then he died. And unfortunately, on my side of the Fox building, not the side controlled by Suzanne Scott, but the side controlled by Jay Wallace, who is a raging leftist, I was toast. I was history. But all that to say now, a few years later, everybody is describing what's happening at the border as an invasion. And I'm curious to know if you see it as an invasion. Folks, I think we need to be looking long-term and much broader at what's going on here. Clearly, the Democrats want their votes, and they're going to get the votes. That's going to happen, whether legally or not. And it's not going to be legal. They're going to be getting these people to vote illegally. There's no doubt about that, no question about that in my mind. But when you bring that many people into a nation at one time, when you have unfettered immigration, when it is not when it is not regulated, you get chaos in the culture. And what you are seeing on these along these border cities right now is just absolutely appalling and atrocious. I mean, we're looking at American cities that have literally been overrun. I mean, the El Paso, Texas, the downtown section of El Paso, Texas is insane. It looks like some sort of like third world country. Now, if you've been to the border, if you've ever traveled along the border, you know that on one side, the American side, you have the gleaming, clean cities. And on the other side, you have a third world hellhole. I mean, that's, you hate to say it, but it's true. I remember we went down to Nuevo Laredo on a mission trip when I was a kid in high school. And the Laredo side, it was absolutely beautiful. But you step foot across that border and it's like, geez, hello, what happened here? The little kids wanting to sell you little chiclets that really weren't chiclets. They were knockoff chiclets and they tasted like, well, it's terrible. Just terrible. Nobody should have to live like that. But you know what? That's on Mexico. That's not on us. So when you've got all of these people coming across, what is the ultimate goal? These people don't care about America. They don't. They hate our country. And if yes, they do hate our country. If they loved our country, they would honor and respect our laws, but they don't. They violated our sovereignty. I mean, that's the first thing they did when they stepped foot on American soil. So my concern is that all of these people are going to destabilize the country. And we're already living in a very precarious time in this nation. No doubt about it. But when you look at what's happening in El Paso, Texas, where you can't even walk down a sidewalk, you've got the illegals. They're sleeping on the sidewalks, tent cities everywhere. Is that what you want in your town? Is that what you want in your city? Because it's coming to your town. Oh, it's coming to your city, ladies and gentlemen. But imagine these smaller towns like Brownsville, Texas. We'll use Brownsville for an example. These people, you cannot even imagine. I want you to hear, there's a lady that was interviewed, a Texas resident, about Secretary Mayorkas, and wanted to ask the secretary a question. Cut five.
Had you had an opportunity to speak directly to Secretary Mayorkas, what would you have said to him?
Oh, that's a really good question. I would ask him if he even cares about us, because I have to take my son to school. His school is kind of in the middle of this, and it's cruel to not have a plan in place for all of the people you're supposed to represent, and then yet you're bringing thousands more over, and then you have the audacity to lie to the American people about it, who are having to live in this daily. It's unacceptable. He keeps talking about humanity and being compassionate and cutting out the cartel, and it's just lip service.
Well, it is lip service, but they don't care. They want the votes, and they want to destabilize the country. That's what's going on here. By the way, terrible situation over the weekend. And we covered it over at ToddStearns.com, providing you with exclusive video and content. Now, they're going to tell you that what happened in Allen, Texas, was a case of white supremacy. They're already telling you that what happened in Brownsville, Texas was an act of white supremacy. And I just don't get this. Just a few moments ago, they released the name of this guy in Brownsville. He is a 34-year-old, and we have the video up on our website. I would caution you, it is incredibly graphic. So if you're going to go to the website and look at it, just be warned. It's horrible. And the video shows this guy driving an SUV, and he's intentionally ramming his car into all of these illegal aliens who are at a bus stop outside of a Catholic Charities facility. Now, we understand now the mainstream media is already reporting that this guy is a white supremacist. But his name, and I'm going to share the name with you, his name is George Alvarez. Does that sound very Anglo to you, ladies and gentlemen? Alvarez, does that sound Anglo to you? So anyway, the guy's facing all sorts of charges, horrible situation. I think 8 or 9 people were killed. 8 people killed, 12 people critically injured. Alvarez, by the way, had a very long rap sheet. I'm going to read through some of this just so you, this guy is kind of like that dude on the subway, Jordan Neely up in New York City. He's got a criminal history that includes 2 counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. He beat up an elderly person, 4 counts of causing bodily injury to a family member, and at least 11 other charges. So, I don't know. Initial question, why the hell was this guy allowed to be out on the streets? Just want to throw that out there. Maybe, just maybe, if we would stop letting these people out of jail, they would not be allowed to run over people. But you know, what I find fascinating is that apparently all of you Hispanics out there are now white supremacists. So when you commit a crime, the Caucasian people get blamed for it. I don't know how that works out. I really don't. But that's where we are right now. The same thing happened in Allen, Texas at this mall. And I saw some video that I chose not to post on our website. But it was pretty awful. And there are just some things you cannot unsee. And at least 2 of the individuals had their faces blown off. They had no face. And that's, look, with the firepower this guy had, I don't care how pro Second Amendment you are, there's really no way to defend yourself from that. Now, I'm as Second Amendment as they come. And I don't have a problem with people owning rocket launchers. As long as you're a law-abiding American citizen and you're allowed to lawfully carry weapons, what you want to do is between you and your bank account and your maker. That's on you. But this idea that the NRA is coming out and saying, oh, well, you know what, you just need to do a better job of protecting yourself. Okay, great. We're going to arm the 8-year-olds with AR-15s and Kevlar? Is that what you're recommending? Because there's absolutely no way for you to protect yourself against some guy who's going to jump out of his car and just start gunning you down. So the question is, and I've heard this from, I just raised this question because I'm genuinely curious. I'm not one of these people, and there are talk show hosts out there that are like this. They'll say, well, I'm 100% Second Amendment, but. No, there are no buts with my, I'm a Second Amendment guy. I would like to know, though, and I had this conversation with somebody, and they said, Todd, you just have to accept the fact that people are going to die because of the Second Amendment, and there's really nothing you can do about it. It's the price we have to pay to have the Second Amendment. Now, I'm not sure I agree with that assessment. Now, I think there are a lot of problems in this country. And a lot of them can be resolved in the church house. A lot of them can be resolved through moral issues and moral standing and things of that nature. I just don't see, again, I was at the supermarket on Sunday. And I'm wandering around, and you just look around all the time. That's, I don't know if you do that, but I'm always looking around. I mean, Memphis is a pretty dangerous town, and there's a pretty good chance that you're going to get carjacked or something like that. But let me just say, for the sake of being a free nation where any human being can go out there and purchase an AR-15 and open fire willy-nilly, that's a scary thing. That's a sobering thought because there's really nothing you can do about it. But I will say this, I will not eat at a restaurant. I will not shop at a store that does not allow you to carry a firearm inside. By the way, that mall, that was a gun-free zone. It was a gun-free zone. Had it not been for that heroic cop who just happened to be there on another call, we would probably be talking about dozens, if not hundreds, of people dead. So my question is, how do we as a nation, how do we protect ourselves with the Second Amendment, right? Because we all have to go shopping, and I don't know about you, but I'm not too sure I want the 8-year-olds and the 9-year-olds carrying an AR-15 so they can defend themselves against the bad guy. Or do we just buy Kevlar for everybody and say, good luck? What do we do? 844-747-8868. Toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Well, I finally had to cut back on the barbecue and the sweet tea. And now I'm starting to lose weight thanks to a great new product called Calitrin. Now, Calitrin contains an amino acid called glycine, which increases serotonin levels, and that makes me sleep better at night, and it also helps me lose weight. It is safe and natural, better sleep, more energy, less joint pain, and believe it or not, glowing skin. And who doesn't like glowing skin? Calitrin is good for you. You're giving your body back what it needs. Calitrin is not a quick fix, but it is a long-term solution for you to take the weight off and keep it off. And get this, it's 100% safe. So even if you're on medications, there are no drugs or stimulants, and that's what makes Calitrin so different. So give them a call right now. Do what I did, 833-TOP-LOSS, or log on to toploss.com and use the promo code Todd. That's 833-TOP-LOSS, promo code Todd. But, you know, a lot of these restaurants out there, they won't let you walk into their restaurant if you have concealed carry, so you got to leave your gun in your car. The thugs go out, and they break into your car and steal your guns. I mean, the thugs aren't stupid. All I'm saying is I do my very best not to shop at or eat at a place that does not allow you to carry. Because when that happens, you get what happened in Allen, Texas. Just over the weekend. Let's go to the phones. Chuck in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on our flagship station, KWAM. Hey, Chuck, what's on your mind today?
Good morning, Mr. Starnes. I've been concerned for a while about the crime and the shooting stuff and all the above. And, yeah, there's a lot of talk about stolen guns. Seems like sometimes we like in algebra class, you know, you learn to solve for equations. I'm not too good at that, but I remember struggling with that. But there are different ways to attack a problem, and we've forgotten the basic way. The basic way is when someone commits a crime like burglary, their butt goes to the penitentiary. And if they're a young person, there's a juvenile penitentiary. If there isn't one, we need to make one. And the same thing with car thieves and people that steal guns. If they steal a gun, if they steal your gun or somebody else's gun, it should be mandatory time behind bars. And I'm not talking about overnight at juvenile court. Now, the only leniency would be, did the person have intent to commit the crime? That would be my point to make.
Well, Chuck, that's fair enough, and I'm with you. We've got to get back to the basics of hard crime. And you know what? We have a photograph of the killer, and I think that needs to be on every front page of every newspaper. The fact that this guy committed this crime, and now he has a great big gaping head wound thanks to that hero cop. Hey, Chuck, we got to run. In other words, there's a price to pay if you're going to do this stuff. We'll be right back, America. If you are looking for MyPillow, you will not find it in the big box stores. And the reason why, it's pretty awful. MyPillow's been canceled by the cancel culture mob. And that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you. And that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow. Normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products. Everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/STARNS. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS. And use the promo code STARNS or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS or call 1-800-544-8939. Use the promo code STARNS. Everybody, hope you're doing good today. By the way, ToddStarnes.com, kind of check out, we have some great stories, all the videos from these horrible, horrible stories over the weekend. We have exclusive video for you, our team of journalists working through the weekend to make sure you are informed. By the way, also, still plenty of time to get a copy of our Daily Biscuit Devotions with a Drawl. It is a great Mother's Day gift. You can get a copy at ToddStarnes.com or wherever you buy your books. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Charles in North Carolina wants to weigh in on the southern border. Hey, Charles, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. Happy Monday. Just listening to your opening, and Todd, I couldn't help but think, you know, today is the 78th anniversary of the Allied victory in Europe. Where the Germans surrendered to the Americans, the Russians, and the Allies. And if that generation, Todd, could have had a crystal ball and seen that 78 years later, this country was going to be invaded and occupied by 12 million illegal aliens, I think a lot of them would ask themselves, what happened? Where did we go wrong? But, Todd, my question to you is this. We know where Joe Biden and the Democrats stand on protecting the border. But why do you think, why hasn't the state of Texas over the last several months, knowing that this was going to happen, the governor, lieutenant governor, state legislature, why have they not called up for maybe like a home defense of like 250,000 men to volunteer to go defend the border against an invasion? Since the government's not going to step up and do it. I don't think they would have any problem getting volunteers. But clearly their property, their lives, our whole country, our whole culture is at stake here. And it's been invaded and nobody's doing anything about it but to facilitate it. So I don't know, maybe you have contacts in the state of Texas, you know people I reference, but why do you think more has not been done by the state of Texas?
You know, that's a good question, Charles, and I suspect it's because the governor there gets a little squishy. You know, he's a conservative, but he gets a little squishy. Now, the reality is that some states do have provisions that allow themselves to call up a military or call up an armed force if, in fact, they have been invaded. I believe Arizona has one of those laws on the books that a state may defend itself when it has actually been invaded. So the question is, okay, well, what's an invasion? And it looks to me that what's happening right now in Texas, and by the way, Charles, it's not going to be just Texas. It's going to be New Mexico. It's going to be Arizona. It's going to be California. It is going to be a massive groundswell of invaders coming across that border.
It's a 2,000-mile border, and if memory serves me correct, I believe that the state of Texas has already petitioned the U.S. government that they are under invasion, and they've requested help. And the Biden administration, and I think this could be a good article of impeachment, has refused to defend the border and refused to defend a sovereign state from invasion. So I'm just kind of scratching my head why Governor Abbott a month or two ago has not had a state address to the people of Texas and called up for 250,000 volunteers to be deputized, to be armed, and to go and defend the border.
Charles, I love that idea. And if honestly, if you had someone like a DeSantis down in Texas, I think you would see something like that happen. But you're right. I mean, the people in Texas have a right to defend their state. Now, according to the Constitution, it's the responsibility of the federal government to guarantee every state in the union shall be protected against invasion. So the question is, what happens if the federal government doesn't do that? And that's where you get into the murky waters. But it's not murky for me, Charles. I mean, again, if the federal government's not going to step in and do its job, then I believe that the state has a right to defend itself.
Absolutely. And Todd, even if the federal government tries to give the state of Texas pushback, or Arizona, or whichever state does it, and I think this is one reason Carrie Lake, they stole the election from her because she was going to do it, let it create a constitutional crisis, because clearly the Biden administration, this is what they want. I mean, and it's the Democratic Party in general. It is a total remake of the United States population without the consent of our population. And this is one way that they're attempting to do it. But I'm just surprised that there hasn't been an organic movement right now. But maybe there will be. There should be. I just know that if I were governor of Texas, Todd, that's exactly what I would have done.
I dare the president to step in and intervene. I mean, honestly, at that point. All right, Charles, appreciate that call. There is something in the United States Constitution that's actually called the Guarantee Clause. And this is what the Guarantee Clause says. The Guarantee Clause requires the United States to guarantee to the states a republican form of government and provide protection from foreign invasion. So there you go. So as Charles said, it's sort of laid out there for us. So the question is, what should the governor do in Texas? Should the governor raise up an army of farmers and firefighters and police officers and housewives, 250,000 people to stand guard along the Texas border? And by the way, what about you people in Arizona and New Mexico and Southern California? Well, Southern California, you guys are screwed. My condolences. San Diego is a beautiful town otherwise, but it's about to be lost. San Diego will fall. So, but I am curious about the rest of you. Does that sound like a good idea that the Republican governors should call up an army of the people? And if the government's not going to step in and do its constitutionally obligated duty, then I say we the people ought to step in. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Let's go to Charlotte, North Carolina. Charlie on the phone wants to talk about that Second Amendment. Hey, Charlie, what's going on?
Hey, Charlie, how are you? I'm sorry.
I'm Todd. You're Charlie. Oh, I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, I get mixed up sometimes.
You and me both, sorry, Charlie. It's that. Monday, too.
I know. I hear you. Hey, we clearly need to have more good guys with guns out there. I've been hanging about looking at people, and I know that police officers and security guards, I know they're good guys, but how else, other than those types of people, how do we tell who's a good guy with a gun and who's a bad guy with a gun? Do you know of any telltale signs?
That's a good question, Charlie. You know, one of the issues, and this did not happen at the mall, but it could have. So when those police officers are responding to an active shooter situation, they are focused on one thing, and that's taking down anybody with a gun. They don't take care of the wounded. They don't worry about the dead. It's all about stopping the target. And so the question is, okay, well, what would have happened if you would have had people there with their weapons engaging as well? How does the cop figure out who the bad guy is? I mean, it's a fair question.
Well, that'd be great. So if everyone had guns then, and all the good guys and bad guys had their guns out whipping them around, it would just be like one big free-for-all and lots of people would die.
Well, I don't think
that what would happen?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I would like to think that if you're a law-abiding gun owner, You've been through the training, you've been through the courses and the classes, and somebody opens fire and you are in the vicinity. I mean, I've got no problem with that person taking out the bad guy. Do you?
I don't know. What
do you mean you don't know? No. What do you mean you don't know? I mean, that's a pretty simple yes or no question to me.
I don't know. To have a lot of people running around with guns, I don't know. But what if I see someone with a red MAGA hat on? Is that a telltale sign that they're a bad guy?
No, not at all. Why would you suggest that a person wearing a MAGA hat? As a matter of fact, I don't believe the shooter or the driver was wearing a MAGA hat.
Well, what if the guy with a MAGA hat has no teeth and looks like he hasn't showered in a week?
What is your point here, Charlie? I'm not understanding what you're trying to say.
I'm trying to figure out how to tell.
You want to find out. Okay, I'll give you a clue.
The bad guy.
All right, I'm going to try to help you out. I'm going to try to educate you, Charlie. So here's the situation. When you see somebody and they're blowing the face off of an 8-year-old, that's the bad guy. All right, Charlie? And if you got problems figuring that out, then you've got bigger issues. Thanks for the call. Jeez, Alou. It's too early in the week for stupid, ladies and gentlemen. Too early in the week for stupid. I'll tell you this much. I would rather have a toothless redneck with no shoes on, wearing a MAGA hat, armed with a lawfully acquired firearm, protecting me, than being out there with nobody, right? Unbelievable, these people. All right, let's go to Chris in North Carolina. Hi, Chris. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Chris. Thank you, Todd, for taking my call. And let me just say that guy before, if you see somebody in a MAGA hat, go to them because they will protect you.
Typically, they are the good guys.
Yes. My issue is, Todd, that, you know, what have the Republicans done to this administration for all they've brought to this country? Everything that's going on the border, all these shootings, they're responsible. But when the Republicans do nothing, all we're talking about today is guns again. A gun is an object. Why does everybody talk about an object? That object cannot do anything if somebody is not holding it, using it. So we need to get off the gun, because if he were to throw a bomb, what would we say about that? People get killed daily in cars, but you don't want to take the cars away.
Well, Chris, the reality here is more people lost their lives in Brownsville, Texas, at the hands of a motorist than lost their lives at the hands of a gunman in Allen, Texas. So where is the outrage?
You're right.
Yeah, I want to say Biden's going to outlaw SUVs, but he is going to do that, but it's for a whole different other reason.
That is right. So I just wish that our side, the Republican, had a backbone. And I'm a Trump man, but I don't even hear Trump coming out hollering about this stuff. We have got to stand up for the American people, and somebody's got to do something, but the Republicans are not.
Chris,
so we can only
just think about this for a moment. We're 5 months into this, right? 5 months into the Republicans controlling Congress. There has been no movement on the Hunter Biden case, no movement on the Biden crime syndicate. They're holding the hearings. Nothing's happening. They're making all of these whistleblower allegations, but nobody's been charged with a crime. No special investigations have been launched. And more importantly, in spite of everything that Joe Biden is doing to this country, he has yet to be impeached. No impeachment proceedings, because as Kevin McCarthy said, Chris, at the beginning of all of this, that he has seen nothing worthy of impeachment. Well, I would suggest that Speaker McCarthy might want to take a long, hard look at what's about to come across that border. Chris, we got to run here, folks. Got to take a break. Hang tight. We're getting to your calls. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
For whatever reason, there's always been a stigma around mental health in our communities. Some people say that talking about your feelings makes you weak. But you know what? It doesn't make you weak. It makes you human. No matter what you're struggling with, you can call or text 988 Lifeline to connect with a trained crisis counselor and get the resources and support you need. No judgment, no stigma, just hope. Text or call 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline day or night. 988. Hope has a new number.
Folks, a lot of people wanting to weigh in today. Let's go to Bill in Georgia. Wants to respond to that caller out of Charlotte, North Carolina. Bill, what's your take?
Yeah, hey, look, if we're going to carry, we need to be proficient with that firearm. We need to train in all different positions, whether sitting, standing, laying down. We need to have situational awareness. We need to practice, you know, we need to be so proficient. We need to practice with that firearm because it's a huge responsibility to carry. I carry everywhere I'm legally able to carry. That means that threat will be eliminated before the police officer arrives. If the police officer is great, they're, you know, let them do their job. But if they're not, because they're not omnipresent, right, then we have to eliminate that threat, okay, by being good gun carrying citizens and only using that when absolutely necessary. It wouldn't be the Wild West. I know those folks that don't want us to have guns think that we're going to be like we are in the movies. Okay. The movies, if Hollywood would disarm, okay, get rid of all the guns in Hollywood. Okay. We might have a chance of setting some examples, but they're never going to disarm because they make way too much money by having guns and violence and all that other stuff in their movies, okay? And the other thing is cars, okay? They're a threat. Then let's reduce every car down to the speed limit. Let's govern them like we do some trucks, okay? I don't want that, but that's another freedom you could take away from us that will make us all safer. So it all comes down to freedom and personal choice.
It does indeed, Bill, and that's why we've got to stand firm on the Second Amendment. Appreciate that call. Let's go to Angie on the line in Georgia. Hi, Angie. What's up?
Hey, Todd. I just wanted to say this. If guns were outlawed, only outlaws would have guns. And you can't sit here and tell me that nobody can get on the dark web, get serial numbers rubbed off of guns. Criminals are being armed with guns, and the citizens and the Christians of this country are being abolished. And I don't know if I could take another life, but I guarantee you that if I saw something in a mall or I saw somebody shooting anybody, I would at least go for a shoulder, a kneecap, feet, something to stop this until he was reprimanded. And if I miss and hit him, oh well. And the guy that was just on the radio talking about gun violence out of movies, there have been so many movies based on true historic and heroic event where people were shot and other people were taken, the regular people took action before the cops got there. And I understand these Democrats are legally arming these citizens. And if you don't think for 1 minute that I can get on the dark web and buy all the AR-15s without serial numbers, these people need to wake up. My husband and I carry. We carry. And we are scared to death. This shooting in Atlanta, he snapped. He was legally able to own a gun. He was a ex-Army person or whatever. So it's crazy to me why these Democrats want to decriminalize the criminals and go for the American citizens who are totally legal.
And Angie, that's exactly what's happening, and I appreciate that call. I will say this, and I was warning folks in Tennessee, my home state, about what was about to happen here. The anti-gun crowd sees this as an opportunity. We have a very weak Republican governor. We have really limp-wristed Republican lawmakers of the Rhino variety, and they are about to disarm this state. It's frightening what's about to happen here. The New York Times getting involved. They have a big op-ed up today wondering if Tennessee could be the way forward. And here in Memphis, Tennessee, we have radical progressives And they literally, literally, ladies and gentlemen, want to go door to door and take away guns from the law-abiding citizens. All right, we got to take a break. Hang tight if you're on the phones. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so I happen to be a huge, and by huge, I mean huge, fan of World War II era movies and documentaries. It's sort of, that's my moment in history, and I'm just really fascinated by all of the stories that came out of World War II, including a lot of the countries like the Netherlands, Belgium, and I've been watching a lot of those movies on Netflix over the past couple of years. And so, you know, Saving Private Ryan, The Great Escape, any movie by that starred John Wayne, I'm there. That is my jam, as the young people say. So anyway, I was pretty intrigued when Disney announced that they were going to be broadcasting a brand new series, and I believe the series was produced by Nat Geo. And it was telling the story, the backstory of the woman and her husband who hid the family of Anne Frank in Amsterdam. Fascinating story, and I'm really intrigued by that. So I took time last night. I said, all right, fine, I'm going to watch this movie. So after Succession, by the way, have you watched Succession? You got to watch Succession, and then you'll understand Rupert Murdoch and all the crap that's going on at Fox News Channel right now. Because that movie is based very closely to the Murdoch family. Fascinating story. Anyway, I'm watching Disney. I watched the first episode. The TV series is called A Small Light. And it started out great. And within 10 minutes, I had already changed the channel. And let me explain what happened. So it turns out that in the course of the first 10 minutes of the film, of the movie, or I'm sorry, the TV series, that one of the characters, and by the way, her name is Mape Geis is her name. And I may be butchering that name, but bear with me. It's the Netherlands. So anyway, it turns out that one of her brothers, she had five brothers. She was adopted. So she had five brothers. And one of the brothers turns out to be gay. And not just gay, but like super out homosexual gay. In 1940s, the Netherlands, in Amsterdam. And I thought to myself, because I've studied this story and I've read a lot on the story, I never knew that. I thought, wow, that's sort of interesting. I had no idea that the brother was gay. So I started doing a little bit of research. And I don't know if you guys do that, but whenever I'm watching a movie or a documentary, I'm always Googling to see, all right, is this real or is this fake? And it turns out that, yes, she did, in fact, have five brothers. Yes, she was adopted. Yes, she and her husband hid Anne Frank and Anne Frank's family during World War II. But it turned out that her brother was not gay. All of her brothers happened to be heterosexuals. So Disney intentionally inserted a gay storyline, a gay narrative, in a moment in history where there was not a gay storyline. Now, look, I don't have a problem if, in fact, this is part of the story, but it's not. The guy is straight as an arrow, as straight as a crease in a pair of khaki pants. I could go on, but I'm not. You get the point. So anyway, an organization called Radio Times, and we have the story up at toddstearns.com, The folks over at Radio Times did an interview with the show's writers and creator, and they readily admit it. Yeah, we lied. They said they took dramatic license. Well, if they're going to take dramatic license, why not make Miss Guise a lesbian? And why not give her why not make her married to another woman? I mean, if you're going to go down that, I don't know. It's insane. But I was intrigued by the rationing here. Why did they do it? What was the rationale? And they said, and this is the quote here from the Radio Times and the interview with the show's writer. We know that MAPE had five foster brothers. Statistically, probably one of them was gay. What? So is that true that one in five, if you have siblings, one in five of your siblings is gay? Is that true? I haven't heard that. I haven't heard that number, that survey before. Or better yet, are they saying that one out of every five people in the world is gay? Statistically speaking. Anyway, the guy goes on, and by the way, the brother's name is Cass. But deciding to make Cass gay allowed us into the world of that community, and the fact that the queer community in the Netherlands was very active in the Dutch resistance. Okay, so bear with me here for a second. If that is even remotely true, which I have no idea, I haven't seen any books or movies produced about that, but let's just, for the sake of the argument, say, okay, that's true. Then why not do a series based on that? Why do you have to go out there and fabricate something, but quite frankly, lie about it? Why do you have to do that? Anyway, the guy goes on, so bringing that gayness into our story felt like the right choice to do. So yeah, we took some liberties. But hopefully their liberties in the pursuit of a bigger desire to immerse the audience in the many different facets of the world. What the hell is he talking about here? The problem, and it is a great big gaping wound of a problem with his rationale, is that MAPE's brother was not gay. Had very bad fashion choice. The hair was askew. I'm just saying, no, I'm not stereotyping. I'm just trying to point that out. Anyway, folks, it's bad enough that Disney is grooming kids to embrace the whole alphabet activist agenda. But now they're literally rewriting history. And so here's, and by the way, if you actually search now for MAPE's brother and the word gay, you're going to come up with all these news stories stating as a matter of fact that her brother is gay. And by the way, isn't the whole argument, and I don't know, Lady Gaga, didn't she sing the song Born That Way? Well, he was born heterosexual. Is that a problem in America now? Can somebody just not be born? Can somebody be just born heterosexual and it be okay? Just asking. All right. Welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Program. Wow, we're 14 minutes. Welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Program. So happy to have you with us today. Anyway, I'm really disappointed because I was looking forward to this great series, and now it's Disney shoving another freaking agenda down our throats. So don't be surprised if you see who's the duck? Oh, it's not Daffy Duck. What's the other duck? Donald Duck. Don't be surprised if you see Donald Duck and Mickey getting it on. All right, I want to go to the phone because we've got William has been holding on, and he wanted to weigh in on this Second Amendment, and we've got to get to the Fox News story. But, William, good to have you with us. Thanks for holding on. What's on your mind?
Right to bear arms. That's what we've got to do, and that's what we got to continue to do, Todd. And it's all about self-preservation. You got to prepare yourself for the fact that you might have to use it. Hope to God and pray that you don't. But you got to prepare yourself for the fact that you might have to. And these days and times that we're living in now seems to be more common than it ever has been.
William, I grew up in the 1970s and the 1980s. I sort of spanned those two decades. And I will say, I will say this, we never had to worry, and you never saw on the news anything about mass shootings. You never had people going in and shooting up the schools, shooting up the churches, shooting up the malls. And I'm curious, what changed in this country where this has now become the norm?
The media, I think, the media, and I think some of it's the video games that children are watching and playing. There's probably a collaboration of a lot of different things. That's just my opinion, but I just believe that if we get more educated on guns and what they're about and what they do, it's a tool. It's just like any other tool that you got in your dad's shed. You got to learn how to use it. You got to learn how to respect it. And you got people out here that don't do that, even the bad guys with guns. So if, you know, the police can't always be there when the time arises. So that's why we have people like myself and law-abiding citizens that are carrying. I was actually carrying before they made it legal for you to have to carry. Nobody knew about it because I didn't brag about it. I didn't talk about it. But it is what it is. Now that they've made it a law for most states that you can carry, people are jumping on board with that. And that's what we need in this country because of what is going on today versus what it was back when you and I were children growing up. It's just for us to defend ourselves. It's unfortunate. This is what we've got to do. Now, that one caller that called in, he was wanting to try to identify a bad guy and a good guy. Well, the good guy was that Marine up in New York that took that bad guy out the other day, and there was no guns involved.
And look what they're trying to do look what they're trying to do to that guy. I mean, it's, you know, they want to put him in the electric chair. It's unbelievable what they're, so right is wrong, wrong is right, values turned upside down. That's what's happened here, William. And it's a good point. You train and you pray that the day never comes where you have to use your weapon. But when you do, you have to be prepared to engage. And, you know, that's not just being a gun owner. That's what it means to be a man. You do what needs to be done to protect others. That's what you do.
That Marine was doing. He was doing what he was trained to do, Todd. Bottom
yep.
line.
You're
like
absolutely
when I
right.
Another day to you. I don't have one word for that gentleman, and that was hoorah. And that, I mean, that's just simple. He did what he had to do.
All right, William, appreciate that call, and thank you for listening. I want to share some information, some intel on what's happening down in Texas. Just a little while ago, Governor Abbott activated what they call the Texas Tactical Border Force. It's nearly 600 more National Guardsmen that are going to be deployed to border hotspots to turn back the illegals. And folks, if it was up to me, we would have soldiers from one end of California all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico in Texas, standing guard over our border. But the Texas National Guard is loading Black Hawk helicopters, C-130s, and they're deploying specially trained National Guard members to these hotspots to repel the invaders. And I hope the governor understands that his state is under siege right now. And every single law-abiding Texan ought to be down there along the border volunteering to stand guard and repel the invaders. Folks, 400,000. That's how many they're expecting the first month of the surge. And they're expecting 400,000 every month thereafter because there's no way Border Patrol is going to be able to handle it. None whatsoever. All right. We have a big story that's developing involving Fox News Channel. The numbers are in a free fall over there. Megyn Kelly calling for a boycott. And so is Brett Favre. Brett Favre just came out. He's calling on Americans to boycott Fox News Channel. Megyn says that Tucker should just walk away, forfeit the pay, and let Fox take him to court. Otherwise, they're going to silence Tucker until after the 2024 presidential election. This is insane. There's also a report out that Tucker is preparing to go to war with Fox News. One report says he knows where the bodies are buried. So this is about to get really ugly. Fox has been leaking. Fox denies leaking the leaks. They're blaming Dominion, but it does Dominion no good to leak all of this stuff. But whoever's doing it is trying to hurt Tucker, and that's why I believe the goon squad over at Fox is behind all of this. So my question to you, ladies and gentlemen, is that a good idea? Should we boycott Fox News? Should we boycott Fox News Radio? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. All right, good to have you with us today, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Let's go to the phone lines, 844-747-8868. Rebecca's listening to us on the great WLOB in Maine. Hi, Rebecca. What's on your mind today?
Well, thank you for having me, Mr. Starnes. What is on my mind? Congressman Crenshaw said it, I think, the best a couple weeks ago. Fox obviously didn't learn from Anheuser-Busch. I think that they should, and I don't mean this, I only mean this figuratively, they should burn it to the ground. When you have somebody restricting somebody's First Amendment rights to speak because it's somehow going to affect their bottom line, it doesn't get much more wrong than that. I put my faith and confidence in Tucker Carlson that he will make the right decision, because I think that he is saying the words that so many of us would like to be able to say on that grand scheme. I mean, he is out there, and I think he has an opportunity to say them in a much broader way now that he is not being, being gagged by the show. He'll be able to speak a little bit, a little bit more forthright. And yeah, I think that they should just, have to live with what they did.
It's become unwatchable. The people they're putting in that time slot, and I know that sounds terrible, and I'm sure they're all very nice people, but that doesn't necessarily make a good television talk show host. And it's just, especially last week, it was just unwatchable on Fox News.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, it is.
All right.
And, I just wanted to let you know. I hope you're having a good day.
Rebecca, thank you so much. Appreciate you calling in. Let's go to Keith in North Carolina. Hey, Keith, what you got for me?
Beautiful weather here. I hope it is there as well. But that's not why I called. I called about the border. This is something I've been thinking about for a long time. You know, we had the Minutemen go down there, and they weren't allowed to do anything really except watch. And we're sending a National Guardsman down there just to process. It seems to me like the only way we could ever, and this is a horrible thing to say, to stop this is with the use of either a total block of the border with that wall that they wouldn't let Trump build, or use lethal force.
Well, Keith, we're going to have to leave it there. Sorry, I wish we could go on, but the computer's going to cut us off. All right, folks, Keith raises an interesting point here. At what point do you use force to protect the border? We'll be right back. All right. Any of you folks watch the coronation over the weekend? Not a big fan of the... Look, we fought a war to get away from those people, and I'm not quite sure I understand the whole royal family. I'm intrigued by it. I enjoy watching that TV show, The Crown. But King Charles, that guy's a leftist lunatic. And one theory, by the way, if you watch The Crown, there's actually a line of dialogue that I just laughed at, where the queen, basically, the only reason that she lived to be however old she was, 98, 99, I don't know. Anyway, the reason she lived so long was to make sure that her son would not be on the throne, because the whole family knew the guy was a nut job. He was messed up, dude. Messed up. The whole family is. A little bit of inbreeding there. I know it's inappropriate table talk, but, you know, it is what it is. You can tell. I'm just saying. So anyway, one of the stars of this TV series called Bridgerton. This is weird. So look, they've got all these new shows that are set back in, like, you know, the 1700s and 1800s. And instead of having white cast members, so they're bringing in actors and actresses of color, if you will. And because they want to be diverse and, you know, with it, it's just sort of weird. You know what I mean? It's I don't know. I'm not racist. I'm just saying that, you know, that Queen Victoria was not a black chick. She was a white chick. She was a little short thing. A little Oompa Loompa with a crown. No, I'm not. No, I know. I'm going to get the hate from the Anglophiles, but I'm just telling you. It's just weird. So anyway, one of the stars of the show Bridgerton was making an observation about the British family being terribly white. Take a listen to cut three.
We've gone from the rich diversity of the Abbey to a terribly white balcony. I'm very struck by yes. that. I'm also looking at those younger generations and thinking, what are the nuances that they will inhabit as they grow?
She's standing next to a horse? What was that? What was that? Good Lord. Anyway, the reason why, and maybe she doesn't understand how the royal family works over there, but the only person of color they've got is that Meghan Markle chick. And, man, she's off her rocker. So, anyway, there, there you go. They're just too white. Of course they are. Anyway. All right. 844-747-8868, our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, new polling data is out, and it is bad news for Joe Biden. New polling data from ABC News and the Washington Post. It even had George Snuffleupagus just astounded, cut number 11.
President Biden pushing back on questions about his age from Stephanie Ruhle as he bids for re-election. Just one of the big challenges he faces now, more revealed by our brand new poll. Political director Rick Klein here to break it down. And Rick, this poll is just brutal for President Biden.
Absolutely, George. And you talked earlier about that record low approval rating for President Biden. It's actually 6 points down just since February. And the skepticism over his leadership extends deep inside his own party. Only 36% of Democrats think that their party should nominate Joe Biden for a second term. 58% say they would support someone else or prefer someone else. That's despite the fact that the entire DNC, most of the Democratic establishment, has rallied behind President Biden. And you're seeing real weaknesses in the coalition that powered Joe Biden to the presidency back in 2020. Biden carried independents by 13 points against Donald Trump. He is now trailing Trump by 9 points among those same voters. He carried black voters by 75 points in 2020. Now he is up just 35. That may sound like a lot, but the fact of the matter is, in modern politics, that is not the kind of number that a Democrat needs to be victorious. And then, of course, that does spill over into the head-to-head matchup, the hypothetical rematch, Trump versus Biden. Right now, a 7-point edge in our poll from in Trump leading Biden. And in fact, it's an identical number with Ron DeSantis in a head-to-head that might happen next November. That tells us at this very early stage, George, that this race is shaping up a lot more about the incumbent president, Joe Biden, than it is about any of his challengers.
And Rick, as I mentioned with Senator Langford, President Trump, at least right now, appears to be strengthening his hold on the frontrunner, on his frontrunner status for the Republican nomination.
And there you go. So, and he is. Once Ron DeSantis decides to jump into the race, I think you're going to see some movement in the polls. I'm not sure it's going to be that dramatic, but I think this is still Trump's. I really do here, folks. The question is it Biden? I don't believe so. And I think you are going to see someone jumping into the race, and it could very well be someone like a Gavin Newsom or Michelle Obama. Pardon me, Michelle Hussein Obama. Yes, I do. I truly do believe that that's still a possibility that is on the table. Democrats, by and large, don't want Joe. I mean, they see the same thing we all see. By the way, I don't know who put this together. We have some great audio here showing you once again how Biden and the Democrats and the media continue to lie about Donald Trump. Cut number 8.
Close your eyes. Remember what you saw on television. Remember seeing those neo-Nazis and Klansmen and white supremacists coming out of fields with lighted torches. And remember what the president said when asked?
And you had people, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally.
Their veins bulging.
He said specifically that he was condemning them.
He did not. He said he walked out and he said, let's get this straight.
The veins bulging on their as they were screaming. Remember, just close your eyes and picture what it was.
Their veins bulging.
Their veins bulging. Nazi sympathizers carrying Nazi fags.
I'm
veins
sorry, what?
Bulging.
It's their veins bulging. Veins bulging.
Nazi, what?
How are you, baby? How old are you?
Homosexual, sir.
It's their veins bulging. Bulging. Veins.
Well, I'm sick and tired of smart guys.
Their veins is, they're bulging.
Their veins bulging.
Their veins bulging.
Veins is bulging. Bulging.
Fewer. Have you ever heard this president say one negative thing about white supremacists? Have you ever heard it?
Racism is evil.
Damn it.
And those who cause violence in its name are criminals and thugs, including the KKK, neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and other hate groups that are repugnant to everything we hold dear as America.
All right, may I just ask your question here? What's up with these bulging Nazi gays? What's that? What's that all about? I think I missed that news report. Jeez, hello. You look at this kind of stuff, and even Democrats are like, oh, my word, what in the world? The guy has the brain, which is the consistency of porridge, and it's not his fault. Look, Dianne Feinstein's the same way. She's wandering around the Capitol building in her bathrobe and fuzzy slippers. She doesn't know what time it is. I mean, you feel bad for these people. You could, at this moment, you could literally go and turn the U.S. Senate into a senior citizen retirement home. I mean, it really assisted living for some of them, a lot worse for others. And these are the people that are making decisions. They can't even think for themselves. It's really sad. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. You know, we've been telling you about Tucker Carlson. Brett Favre just a few moments ago announcing that we need to boycott Fox News. Megyn Kelly advancing the boycott Fox News movement as well. And Tucker is apparently preparing for war against Fox. So our friends over at Newsmax want to know what you think about Tucker Carlson actually coming back to TV. And that is the rumor. So we want you to vote in the Newsmax poll. You can do that by texting the word skip to 39747. That's skip to 39747. Now, I voted. You can, too. You got to let your voice be heard. Newsmax, they love hearing from their viewers. So, again, text the word skip to 39747. And remember that millions of Americans are making the switch to Newsmax. Now, look, Tucker Carlson, you've got a great reason to watch Newsmax every night. And it's because of people like Rob Schmidt and Eric Bolling and Greta Van Susteren. Even President Trump likes Newsmax, and I agree with him. Text that word skip to 39747 right now. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you with us today. Hope things are going well wherever you might be. I want to bring in Ben Dieter, who is the morning news anchor and co-host at KWAM, the radio station I own in Memphis, Tennessee. Now, Ben, big event down on the river, and I happen to go down Friday, the Beale Street Music Festival.
Yes, sir.
Big crowd.
Huge.
I have a question for you. So I was there to see Earth, Wind, and Fire, but I got down there, and there's so much walking around, and it's hotter than blue blazes, and I thought, you know what? I'll just go and listen to them on my iTunes. So I didn't stick around for the late-night concert.
Todd, I think you missed out.
Yeah?
I think you could have drank those
monster drinks, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, the Baptist martinis.
Yes. Yes, an energy drink. I know it's past your bedtime, but it was an enjoyable experience. It was an incredible concert. And for the most part, it was a pretty safe one. Did your Cadillac survive the trip downtown?
It did. And here's the secret. I didn't want to give this away because once I did, because that's the problem, is that people didn't want to drive all the way downtown to Memphis and then have their car stolen. So I valeted at the Peabody Hotel.
Very nice.
That's how I did it. But let me tell you something. I pulled out and I had dinner. The mistake was having dinner at the Peabody.
Oh.
But because it was so late when I got out of there, I walk out and they have these party buses that are basically school buses with the top shaved off. And there is also, I had never seen such debauchery. I think I saw at least three people making babies right there on Beale Street.
It's a terrifying scene, isn't it? It's truly terrible. And I guess that's the culture of Memphis, Tennessee these days. I think, honestly, B.B. King, Elvis Presley, they'd be rolling in their graves.
It was insane. I've never seen anything quite like that before. And they were doing something. It was either the twerking or the whipping nay-nay. What's the one where the booty just the goes up and just, down? And
yeah.
It
looks like booty Judy is trembling.
It looks like a bowl of Jell-O.
Yeah. That's what the young people call twerking these days. The sad thing is,
and I throw my back out.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Do not recommend. However, it's even worse when you see them up on top of the horse. You were from New York. You know Central Park. Well, Memphis tries to do a spinoff of that with those romantic carriage buggy rides down Main Street. So then you have all those large women on top of the horseback, and they're playing the big rap music. I think Nicki Minaj is her name. And going crazy on top of the horses. So at least it's happening on a tractor trailer.
Well, there you go. So I have a question, though. So I wasn't familiar with half the groups, and there must have been, 20,000 people down there on the riverbank. And great concerts, great venue. But it's Greta Van Fleet. So I thought, initially, Greta Van Susteren had switched over and was doing rock and roll.
Oh.
But it's not Greta Van Susteren. But my question is Greta Van Susteren a dude? Or no, Greta Van Fleet. No, Greta Van Susteren's a gal.
So jeez. Greta Van.
Oh, jeez.
You know, I think a lot of people were very confused about, is Greta Van Fleet a one-man band or is it an entire band of boys? It was not a female. It was not a model. It was not a news anchor. It was a group of cousins, I think they are. They were actually really good. Although the main star, he wore a skin-tight bodysuit, and that was a bit disturbing, no matter how many drinks you had.
Was that Greta?
That was Greta. But I think his name is John, but the whole band is called Greta Van Fleet. John is just the main show.
I don't understand.
It's okay.
Kind of like Stevie Nicks, I guess. I don't understand. Maybe it's not meant to be. All right. Well, thank you for that, Ben Dieter.
You're welcome.
Appreciate a good concert, though. You had a good time. I know you were down there all weekend.
It was my first time ever to go, and it is a big deal. I mean, you have people coming from every state, all 50 states, and around the world. I even met some Brits. They were running around with Queen Camilla and King Charles masks on.
Interesting.
Eating big old turkey legs. It was
of course they were.
It was quite the sight.
And then in Nashville, they had, I mean, it was apocalyptic last night, but they had severe storms, had to evacuate everybody out of the arena for the Taylor Swift concert. And then it kicked back in about midnight last night.
Is there anybody, Todd?
They may still be there.
Is there anybody, Todd, you would be that diehard of a fan to wait through hell, wind, and fire to watch their performance? I mean, these kids, literally, it was a monsoon, and they still watch Taylor Swift perform.
Hold on, I'm thinking here. Yeah, no, I can't. I'm okay. Sorry. I'm good. I'll just enjoy the iTunes. Watch it on TV.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, Ben Dieter. By the way, I want to welcome all of our brand-new listeners. We have a brand-new station joining us today, West Tennessee Media Group, and I want to welcome our Super Talk of West Tennessee listeners. And by the way, we have a deal, and we'll do this all week, but if you are calling in from that radio station, if you're listening in the Jackson, Tennessee area, and you call in today, you're going to get a free copy and a personally signed copy of my latest book. It's our way of saying welcome to the neighborhood. to all of our new listeners in West Tennessee. You can give us a call at 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. And Ben Dieter, we'll put you on air and welcome you to the neighborhood. And we love doing that to all of our new affiliates. And I think we're getting close, folks, to that 150 station affiliate mark. And so we're pretty excited about that. And we'll be telling you more about that in the coming days. But again, all of our brand new listeners in West Tennessee, give us a call, 844-747-8868. Portland State University in the news. They're now providing a safe space for all transgender and gender nonconforming students. Now, the university president, Stephen Percy, wrote a memo to students citing concerns over laws banning puberty blockers, as JFK would say, and medical mutilation surgeries. He says such laws are anti-transgender. How dare you whack off that winky? How dare you stop that from happening, sir? So anyway, University President Percy goes on to say that the university is going to provide trans students a safe space. And in that safe space, they're going to give the children free cotton candy, temporary tattoos, and coloring books. What about crayons? Are they going to get the crayons? No Play-Doh, but they're going to get crayons. Anyway, the perpetually offended pronoun confused crowd, the same youngsters, by the way, who are so aggrieved that they try to shut down any speeches by conservatives on campus. Now, Portland State has a queer student services department. Who knew that existed? Paid for by your tax dollars. And they say critics of the safe space are anti-trans provocateurs. Is that true, ladies and gentlemen? You know, it seems to me, and I don't mean to speak ill of anyone, but maybe instead of a safe space, some of those youngsters belong in a padded room. Jeez, a loop. All right, we got to take a break here. And again, welcome to all of our Super Talk West Tennessee listeners. Give us a call, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, hello, everybody, and a special howdy-do to all of our brand-new listeners in and around Jackson, Tennessee, West Tennessee, Union University. A lot of great people out in that neck of the woods, and welcome to the brand new Super Talk listeners there in the Jackson area. And by the way, it's just a way of saying welcome to the neighborhood. If you are from that area and listening to us today, you call in and you get on the air, you're going to get an incredible, great gift from us, a copy of my latest best-selling book, Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation. So give us a call, and we'd love to welcome you in to the conversation. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Well, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now. Congressman Dan Bishop joins us from the 8th Congressional District in North Carolina. Congressman, hope you're doing well today.
Doing great, Todd. Good to be with you. I just wanted to let your listeners know I'm riding in a car with your good friend and mine, Lauren Boebert of Colorado, in North Carolina with me for the day, and we're headed to Raleigh, and so we're both glad to be with you.
Well, you got to be sure to take her by Biscuitville and get her some good food while you're, or at least Bojangles.
That's a great idea. Biscuitville or Bojangles, I'm sure. If you know much about Lauren, I imagine she doesn't do much Biscuitville or Bojangles.
But if you look at me, you know I do.
Bojangles ministers to my soul.
There you go.
That's great. I love it. Well, please tell Lauren Boebert we said hello. She's just doing a terrific job out there for her district, and we're big fans.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Congressman, let's get to it. This is chaos down on the border. We saw some pictures coming out of El Paso, and it looks like what Mexican cities on the other side of the border look like, just a complete debacle.
You know, Todd, we've all known that with the ending of Title 42, what has been a, I don't know, what's worse, a flood or a tsunami? I mean, we knew it was getting to be, it was going to be even worse. And that is what we're seeing. And with all the chaos and destruction to the lives of people who are being manipulated by this, migrants, to the great benefit of the Mexican drug cartels, it just goes on, and the policies of the Biden administration are the cause. And so they've had years now to prepare for the Title 42 health-related authority to end, but they want it to end, and they want the flood to be worse. I mean, that's the only explanation. We have had a great border security bill. Now that Republicans are in charge in the House, we've rolled those out of the Homeland Security and Judiciary Committees. We're going to go to the floor with those. And, of course, we don't have any Democratic cooperation, so it'll be something we'll have to leverage our majority in the House to produce, just like we are doing with the debt ceiling package. But it is a catastrophe, an ongoing catastrophe, and it almost seems like, you know, too little, too late. This is genuinely frightening in terms of the impact on the social fabric of the United States to have, you know, maybe hundreds of thousands more immediately of people who are not well prepared to live in the United States, don't have a support structure here, more suffering, more dislocation. It is a reprehensible record for the Biden administration.
And Congressman, we are hearing upwards of 400,000 illegals a month. And if you count the number of months left in the Biden first term in office, I mean, we're talking about millions of people coming across that border. And I'm not sure that the country is going to be able to absorb all of those new people. I mean, we have to have well-regulated immigration in this country, and we don't have it.
That's exactly right, Todd. I mean, there are limits to what we could. You know, I remember sitting in a committee meeting in Judiciary. Tom McClintock of California at some point made the simple point that migration has to be both orderly and in a quantity that, you know, assimilation can occur. People can find their way into a productive and opportunity-filled life in the United States. And you should have seen the Democrat reaction. They were viciously angry at Mr. McClintock for saying that, as though there's something wrong with the notion that people need to assimilate into this country in order for everybody to be successful. It's crazy talk. And I can't account for it. I cannot account for the why Secretary Mayorkas sits there and stares at us in hearing after hearing and declares that we have operational control of the border, that the border is secure, denies that the Biden administration policies have caused it. But that's what they do. They just stare us down and insist on continuing on the path they're on. And it's a bad thing, Todd. I mean, we just got to keep fighting. We've got to use every bit of opportunity we can with our majority in the House to leverage the opportunity to force Democrats to make changes in order to get the border under control.
Congressman, there is in the Constitution a guarantee clause, is what they call it, where the government has a responsibility to protect states from invasion. Has the federal government failed to do that in Texas?
I think you could make that case very readily from the consistently unprecedented levels of illegal migration we've seen the entire Biden administration. And if it hasn't happened, when you look at the video of a veritable flood of people lining up ready to come, you know, people get offended when you say it's an invasion. I don't say it for the sake of trying to scandalize somebody or make them angry. It's just a fact. And yes, I think that gives the states certain freedom of action. If governors will take that opportunity, And it certainly ought to provide, you know, situations where successful lawsuits against the federal government ought to be able to be maintained. And it gives us every indication of duty to the Constitution for us to use every opportunity we have in Congress to force a change. That's
right.
What we've got to do.
Well, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. Know you're busy out in the district, and please tell Congresswoman Boebert we said hello, and safe travels to both of you.
Thank you, Todd. Good to be with you. I'm just right ahead.
All right. There you go, folks. Congressman Dan Bishop calling in, and wow, that was kind of fun. I have Lauren Boebert there driving around. Hope they do check out Biscuitville. It's a pretty good joint, but you know, it is what it is. Chris Christie, this just being released by Mediaite, Chris Christie getting ready to throw his hat into the ring, planning to take on President Trump for the 2024 presidential nomination. And Chris Christie is telling the Dispatch podcast, that's David Drucker's podcast, that Donald Trump's presidency failed us. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Donald Trump and his presidency failed America? Chris Christie says he plans on taking Donald Trump head on. He says, it's Donald Trump. He's the guy in front, so I'm not dumb. The way to win is to beat the guy who's ahead. And he said it would be a direct frontal challenge to Donald Trump. He says, I think any other campaign that does anything different than that is not going to work. He says that his presidency failed us. We gave him everything the Republicans have been dreaming of, a nice Republican majority in the House, a Republican majority in the Senate, and a 306 electoral vote victory. There were no excuses for him not to accomplish everything he promised, but most particularly the stuff that he made the centerpiece of his campaign, which was repeal and replace Obamacare, build the wall in Mexico, and get our country under some fiscal control. And he failed in all three. So do you believe that, ladies and gentlemen? Do you believe what Chris Christie just said, that Donald Trump's presidency failed the nation? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, I want to address something that Chris Christie said, and again, he is getting ready to run for president, and he's going to take on Trump. Ought to be it's a heavyweight battle, but on one side it'll be a super heavyweight battle. Anyway, Chris Christie is wrong about Obamacare. If you want to blame somebody for Obamacare not getting repealed, you got to go to the grave of Senator John McCain. Because he's the guy to blame, God rest his soul, but he's the guy. If you remember, John McCain hated Donald Trump, and he did not want to give Donald Trump or the American people a victory. And what did he do? You remember it. We've talked about it on this program many times. When he looked up at the C-SPAN cameras, that guy looked directly into the cameras on C-SPAN, live on C-SPAN, and he gave the big thumbs down. You remember that. That was an up yours to Donald Trump, and it was an up yours to the American people. That's not on Trump. You want to talk about fiscal responsibility? Great. Let's have that conversation. You want to talk about the border wall and the fact that we do not have a wall from border to border? Okay, we can have that conversation. But you're not going to put Obamacare. That's not on Trump. And I will say this. I think Trump has done a pretty good job. But according to Chris Christie, he said that Trump's presidency failed America. What say you? Let's go to Patty in North Carolina. Hi, Patty. What's on your mind?
Todd, love you. Listen, you know, Chris Christie is so jealous of Donald Trump. Let's put it this way. He's always been jealous. And I want to say something about Chris Christie. I was in New Jersey. Remember Bridgegate?
Oh, I do remember Bridgegate.
Well, you know what? Let me tell you something. Chris Christie is, I'm going to say one thing that Mr. Trump, if you're listening, if he's coming at you, just duck, because he's going to hurt you.
Well, I will
talk about a rhino coming at somebody. I hope he don't stop at a fast food place before he hits him.
He'll have the triple whopper with cheese.
Oh, God in heaven. But you know what? He's been bad-mouthed. He goes on these CNN. He goes on BSNBC. And he goes on all these. And you know what? He bad-mouths them all the time. He will never become president. Never. And he's so jealous because Donald Trump, no matter what Donald Trump goes through, he seems to come through. And you know why they hate him so much? Because Donald Trump is a survivor, and he doesn't take no bull ass. You know what I'm saying?
Look, Ed, you're right about this. And Patty, I remember. I'm not sure if you remember this. A lot of people tried to get this image just removed from their brains. But when Chris Christie went out to the beach to sunbathe,
I remember that.
And there was the person there with the super wide angle lens. And they captured the photograph.
Yeah, the whole family was out there while people were being locked down.
Yeah, this happened. This was actually before the pandemic, so there was another issue, but there was a government shutdown, and so they closed all the beaches. But Christie's out there soaking up the sun.
Yeah, well, they should have thrown him in the water for a while. I don't want to go there. All right, I'm just saying that
he would have buoyed. There's a lot of buoyancy there, so he would have been like a dinghy.
This guy has no clue. You know, Donald Trump. He's always been. It comes down to jealousy because he knows Donald Trump. People love Donald Trump. Chris Christie can't get a. Even in New Jersey, his poll ratings were terrible too. Okay.
Oh, remember walking hand in hand with Barack Hussein Obama down the beaches? I mean, it's just the guy is a walking gaffe machine, Chris Christie. So, all right,
too much gas. You don't need that.
Well, now here's the tell: the next time he shows up for a press conference and he's lost 400 pounds, you're going to know he's running for the White House.
Okay. Thank you, Todd.
He's been on Jenny Craig. All right, thanks, Patty. Jeez. Oh, no, Jenny Craig. Yeah, the fat lady saying she's gone out of business. Did you hear about that? So this was back in 2017. There was a big budget impasse, and Chris Christie was governor at the time. And so he shut down all the beaches, and the next thing you know, he and the missus and all the family and the bodyguards are out there on the beach soaking up the sun. That's a lot of sun to soak up. All right, let's go to Steve, KYKN, great radio station in Oregon. All right, Steve, what's on your mind?
Just regarding Christie's comments about President Trump's administration failed the American people, or failed us, excuse me, the quote was, and I guess it depends on who us is. Us being the American public, I don't think he failed us. I think he did really well. I sincerely hope we get another shot at it with him.
Yeah, look, Steve, I don't have a problem with Chris Christie running. As a matter of fact, I hope other Republicans, and especially Rhino and establishment Republicans, jump into this race.
Sure.
You know, I want to see him debate, and I want to see Trump put everybody in their place.
Works for me.
I'm with you there. All right, Steve, appreciate that call. Let's go to Janice in New Orleans. All right, Miss Janice, what's on your mind?
Yes, Todd, I have something to say here. Biden took an oath to protect our country, but he's not doing that. If there are any Democrats listening to me right now, I am asking you to please, for the sake of our nation and its future, walk away from the Democratic Party and vote for whoever the Republican nominee is in 2024. That border would have been secured by now if it had not been, you know, for Trump not getting reelected. But if he had been, it would have been secured and people would not be coming in as they are. These people are not just in Texas and Arizona. They are going in all 50 states, and many are criminals. A woman in my own state, in Kenna, Louisiana, died at the hands of a Guatemalan who was, it was a catch and release thing. But the last time he got in, he killed the lady.
And I am asking you people, put politics aside. Think about your children. Think about your loved ones. They're sex trafficking children. Children are being sent in here with no parents, with nobody. That is really, really sick. And so if we elect, if another Democrat gets in as president in 2024, our country will be destroyed for the foreseeable future. Please, please, I am not just asking, I'm begging you. I am begging, please, think about what I'm saying.
Janice, it's a great thought. We're going to have to leave it there. Got to get to the break, but a good hearing from you. And it is a fair assessment of the situation. And every Republican voter is going to have a decision to make at the ballot box. And I think that's a great thing. Unlike the Democrats who, you know, they will have an anointed one and that's it. By the way, I just got this from Jeff Stein, our buddy over at KXEL in Iowa. Says Trump and DeSantis are going to be in Iowa on the same day. Oh, woo, get out the popcorn. That's going to be some fireworks. We'll be right back, America. All right, folks, man, we are so excited to be partnering with RedBalloon.work. They are committed, dedicated to taking wokeness out of the workplace. And I love it. I've been on the page, been on the site. It's absolutely incredible. Again, RedBalloon.work. I would encourage you to go and check that out. If you are an employer, you want to hire some people, some employees who are not woke, who aren't going to bring their politics into the workplace, this is where you want to go. And if you're looking for a job and you want to work for a great company, then you're going to want to go to redballoon.work and check out all the great job opportunities there. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Honored to have the chief executive officer of Red Balloon, our good friend Andrew Krapuschets, joins us again. Andrew, good to have you back on the show.
Thanks for having me, Todd, and nice to talk to you.
You know, we are still trying to get a handle on exactly how many people are getting jobs and how many people are not. The administration, Biden administration's had to go back. They had to revise a lot of numbers. And I want to get the view from where you stand. How is the job situation in America?
Yeah, obviously, we have to be really careful with anything coming out of the Biden administration, even though they said there were 253,000 new jobs being created that were created in the month of April. There was a lot of revisions of January, February, and March numbers. But there's another report that comes out of the BLS, the JOLTS report, the Job Opening and Turnover Survey. And the advantage of the JOLTS report is it's less politicized. The Wall Street doesn't pay as much attention to it. So there's a higher likelihood that there's some reality connected to this report. And this report basically says how many job openings are in the economy. So this is more an indication of demand rather than how many people actually got jobs. And it shows how many open jobs that are out there and businesses have not been able to fill. And before the pandemic, that number was generally in the 6 to 7 million per month range, where those were open jobs that companies were desperate to fill. And now it has been over 10 million for quite some time. It's down a little bit for the month of March, which is the most recent number for the JOLTS number. But it's still down to 9.6 million open jobs in the U.S. economy. And that actually makes sense. And this is whenever you look at data, you have to say, does this make sense? That makes sense with the help wanted signs that we literally see everywhere. And I'm sure everyone in your community, all across the country right now, businesses are desperate to fill jobs with people who want to show up to work and won't cause a bunch of political correctness problems at work. So there is a huge amount of demand in the labor market, even though I don't know that that we can totally trust the numbers coming out of the BLS for the jobs number. The JOLTS one is really an interesting one and shows that demand is still off the chart for Americans right now to try and companies looking for people to show up and do work.
Andrew, I hate to keep going back to those 2 years where people were sent home. They were told to stay home, businesses forced to shut down. And I'm afraid that the American people developed some pretty nasty habits during that time when they weren't back at work. And I'm talking about a lazy workforce. And that concerns me that the government condition people to accept a check from the government and be content with that.
Absolutely. So that was part of the problem. You had a lot of people who just got really good at watching Netflix, which is actually not a job skill that any of us want our employees to be good at. So they got good at watching Netflix. But the other thing that happened, Todd, that's very interesting is leading up into the government's response to the pandemic, you had about 1.5 million baby boomers a year that were retiring coming into 2020. And then what happened is it got very difficult to work, whether it was remote work, whether it was you need to show up with a mask or get a jab or whatever it is. And so what happened is baby boomers accelerated their retirement from 1.5 million a year to 3 million a year in 2020 and 2021. And we'll find out what it looks like in 22. But basically, when you take an additional 1.5 million of the most skilled workers out of the economy every year, and of course, we haven't had the population growth that we needed, the economy is just starving for people. And then, as you mentioned, there's this whole problem of we fundamentally changed the way that we think about work in America through the pandemic. When you're paid to stay home and watch Netflix, or when you are told that you're a protected category and you can't be fired no matter how you work, some of these woke policies really have a huge impact on the workplace in America. And the productivity numbers across the country have been down pretty consistently since the government's response to the pandemic started. And so you have all of these factors coming in, and businesses really are starving for good talent. We're hearing from businesses all across the country at RedBalloon.work that they're finding people through RedBalloon.work, but they're spending thousands of dollars with Indeed or ZipRecruiter, one of the big major job boards, because they're desperate to find people to fill roles. And so it's been really fun to be able to come alongside those businesses, help them find the talent they need that isn't going to bring those woke ideologies into the workplace, but it's actually just going to focus on getting work done. But it is an interesting time in the labor market, and no matter what the economy does, even if it slows down, although I have some questions about whether that will happen, we're going to continue to have a tight labor market. There simply aren't enough people to do all the work that needs to get done.
I'm so glad you were on the show today. There's a new study out that says resumes, including pronouns, they, them especially, are more likely to be overlooked, according to a new report. This is from CNBC. Are you surprised by that?
No, because again, there's still actually a lot of capitalists left in the labor in businesses today, and they realize that someone who is, you know, if their leading talking point is that they have, you know, that they care more about their pronouns than bringing value to your business, any hiring manager in their right mind really should try and avoid that person. So that one is not surprising to me at all. The other thing that's really interesting is hiring managers are being told that they really need to preference preference not hiring white males. They need to preference minority hires. And so they're already being given very conflicting signals. And then when, yes, this report comes out, turns out when someone demands a certain pronoun, I would encourage you, avoid that person. They're probably not going to be good for your culture, and they're probably not going to be a hard worker because they care more about what you call them than what they can provide value for you.
Yeah, there was a report out over the weekend that folks are really upset at the Dallas Mavericks, because even though 70% of the NBA is made up of black players, that there are far too many white players on the Dallas Mavericks team. And I don't know what they want to do there. It just seems to me, Andrew, you would want the best person to play. You want the best basketball players playing on your team, no matter the color of their skin.
Absolutely. And that's unfortunately not not a surprise to me, because we are in this moment when people feel like the color of your skin, who your parents are, is more important than the value you bring, which is insulting to everyone, no matter what your skin color is, because if you get the job because, and I remember talking to someone who was being promoted to VP of sales, who was a black gentleman, and he said, you know, he says, I was concerned that I was basically getting this promotion because of my skin color, not because of my value. And that is insulting to me, because I want to actually earn something. I want to be able to do good work and have it matter no matter what my skin color is. So they're really doing a good job of causing everyone heartburn because whether you're white or black or any of the sexual orientations, if you are getting a promotion based on those things, or if you're on a basketball team based on those things, you are simply being discriminated against. There's no way around it. And that's really not what made America great in the first place. It was you work hard, you provide good value, and you will succeed. And when you take that away, all of a sudden it feels a lot like communism.
Yeah. And by the way, folks, redballoon.org is the website. If you go on and sign up and use my promo code STARN, some great discounts available to you. Again, redballoon.org and promo code STARNS. Andrew, you've also got some amazing data on the cost of a bad hire. And you wouldn't think it would cost your company that much money, but your findings are pretty remarkable here.
Yeah, we dug around in the data, and obviously we're working with thousands of businesses across America right now, and so we're able to combine all this information and find out, okay, so how much does it cost your business to just hire someone who will do the job? We call it the availability fallacy. Basically, the person will fog up a mirror if you hold it under their nose and they're willing to do the work. That doesn't mean they're going to be a good addition to your business. And so what is the cost of a bad hire? And unfortunately, in today's world, a bad hire generally is someone who is more concerned about their political ideology and pushing that than doing the job. And so we calculated this, and it's based on a number of different factors. It's based on one report showed that up to 17% or almost a full day of the week of the manager's time is being used to clean up the mess of a bad hire. We looked at the cost of having customers have a bad experience and not be able to get the best product from you because of that bad hire. The morale hit of other employees, because if you don't deal with a bad hire in your company, you're telling all your good hires, all your good employees, that honestly, this might not be the right place for them. And so you combine all of these factors and you can actually quantify that cost. And we're finding it's between $15,000 and $21,000. That is the cost to a business if they hire the wrong person. Obviously, this is a huge hit if you're a small business, but even if you're a big business, multiply that by every bad hire, and $15,000 to $21,000 really adds up. And it just makes life more miserable for everyone around you. And so you need to put the time and effort into getting a good hire. We're also finding that a good hiring process, one in which you vet people appropriately, you call references, you do background checks, you go through a process that we're now doing for employers, should take upwards of 30 hours for you to actually hire someone well. And most small businesses simply don't have the time and effort to do that. So that's one of the things we're doing at redballoon.work, is we're actually able to come alongside small businesses. We'll actually help write resume or help write job postings. We'll do resume screening, and we'll actually do a cultural interview to make sure you avoid that bad hire, because it is a significant cost. And it can actually kill a business. I've talked to friends in our kind of patriot economy that's growing around this country, and they hired someone to head up customer service, and that person was actually actively trying to destroy their business because they were a Christian pro-freedom business. And so you really need to work hard to make sure you keep crazy out of the four walls of your business and get the right people in, because we all know our people are our most important asset. And if you can get the right people inside your business, that's where you're going to make money. That's where you're really going to have the joy of working with like-minded people. And it's been really fun to be able to help businesses with those
things. You see, I just love this. And I could have used Red Balloon about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And it would have gotten me out of trouble, because these things happen. And it's so good. I love how you referenced the Patriot economy, because that's what this really is. And we're excited to be able to use Red Balloon. And we look forward to getting some great hires as a result of the great work you guys are doing.
Well, thank you. No, it's been remarkable, the number of businesses that are coming back to us and saying everybody we're hiring through redballoon.work is cleansing to our culture, because they're just hardworking conservatives. And we had no idea how much time, energy, and heartache we were putting into trying to either vet the recruits coming through the major the big job boards, or trying to deal with the bad hires that we made through those major job boards of Indeed or ZipRecruiter. And so it's important for your business to be able to know that the people that are coming in and helping you grow your business are going to be like-minded and aligned. The other thing that's been really fun, Todd, is I've run a lot of businesses over the years, but this is the only business where I get these unsolicited thank you notes from perfect strangers. People saying, you've changed the trajectory of my family because I now work for a business where they respect my values, where they will protect my freedom. And I found that business through redballoon.work. One lady wrote me and said that I helped save her marriage. And so we are doing work that is not only fun and is not only a huge blessing to these businesses, it's a huge blessing to job seekers to know that they can work for someone who is not going to judge them because they like a Todd Starnes tweet on Twitter. So it's been a really fun adventure.
That's good. I trigger a lot of people, Andrew. I really do. All right. We got to leave it there. Folks, redballoon.work. Use the promo code Starnes. That's redballoon.work. Promo code Starnes. Andrew, always good having you on. Appreciate the great intel.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me. Everybody have a great day.
All right. There you go. Folks, this is exciting. And building this, being a part of building this Patriot economy, and a Red Balloon wants to help you as a business owner. So if you're a small business owner or a large business owner, they're going to be able to help you out. And if you're looking for a job, they're going to be able to help you out as well. Redballoon.work, and be sure to use that promo code Starnes. You know, I was listening to KWAM coming in to work today and heard a great story from West Memphis, Arkansas, where a woman retired from Kentucky Fried Chicken. She had worked there and been to eat her, correct me if I'm wrong here, 47 years at KFC. 47 years.
Incredible.
That's, yeah, she was slinging a lot of chicken. A lot of chicken.
Can you imagine someone my age, a Gen Zer or maybe even a millennial, working at a fast food chicken joint for 47 years? It's unheard of.
You know, it's interesting. I was listening to the interview she did with one of the TV stations, and she said that she started out her life and she was, what, picking cotton? And then all of a sudden, it was quite remarkable. What are we doing here, guys? I don't know what we're doing. Oh, we've got the audio.
A little bit of the audio. Let's take a listen. Coming in.
Well, I started off, you wouldn't know, chopping cotton. And I prayed and asked the Lord to give me a job. And I promised him I was going to stay at it. So I ended up, got a blessing, two blessings. I got this job and got married the same year.
Well, there you go. And so now they're naming a street after her, KFC is. And they're also giving her some sort of a passion award. I would have taken the lifetime supply of KFC, original recipe. Throw in some biscuits and coleslaw.
For real.
That's what I would have done.
You paid your dues. Right. Or have a chicken sandwich named after her.
The Loretta. Give me the Loretta. It's got everything on it. I love it. All right. Well, good for you, Miss Loretta. And enjoy your retirement years. Don't be going to Bojangles now. Don't be cheating on KFC. All right. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us. So as I was searching, I was Googling for the Kentucky Fried Chicken story. It came across another odd, weird story. Have you heard about KFC clogs? Now, I've never... Ben Dieter is sort of the fashion expert here at the Starnes Media Group. And Dieter, I'm curious, are you a fan of the clog?
Are we talking about those weird rubbery or styrofoamy croc-looking things with the holes? Kind of look like Swiss cheese shoes.
I think they call them crocs, but aren't they? But the clogs are, clogging is a dance style that's very popular among the square dancing
crowd. Clogs kind of look like, bar the fact that they're not wooden Dutch people's shoes, they kind of look like that.
All right. Well, anyway, KFC is now providing clogs that actually look like chicken, and smell like chicken. There is some sort of a device on the shoe that makes your feet smell like fried chicken. I think I'm going to be ill.
I don't need a KFC-scented clog to make my feet smell like chicken.
Oh, my word. Oh, I'm looking at them now. It looks like you're wearing chicken poultry. It looks like you're wearing poultry.
You should get some
shoes.
Chick-fil-A moccasins, Todd.
I don't know about that. All right, folks, we got to leave it there, and we definitely need to leave that there. We'll be back tomorrow, Lord willing. Have a great one, America.